Quoting the 2012 movie, "Blue is not so pink." How often do we point at other people just because they're different? Different in the way they think, the way they dress, the way they speak, or the way they love? We forget that we live in a diverse society where everyone belongs and everyone deserves to be heard. We mistreat others because we see them as inferior or less intelligent, or because they have a different skin color. We make jokes about some people because they come from other cultures and have different customs and beliefs. We feel entitled to judge just because they made a choice different from ours. And if instead of pointing fingers, we listened.
All right, so this is a quote of the day. A right isn't something someone gives you. It's something no one can take away from you. Ramsey Clark, former United States Attorney General.
This is the soundtrack, the soundtrack of your life. Feel the beat, feel the drive, let the rhythm come alive. Oh, this is your time, your story's in the sound tonight. To share, I care about the human being. I care about the human being.
Welcome to the soundtrack of your life, a place where stories aren't read, they're heard. Where life isn't measured in years, but in songs. Because every day deserves its own soundtrack. And today we sit down to listen to one of our own through conversations about origins, passions, and music. We celebrated the diversity that makes us unique. Today we open our ears and our hearts.
Let's start. Usually when we start the interview, I ask you, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you and what your role at the university is?
All right, so my name is Rehan Hashmi. I am an Egyptian student and I came to Canada when I was 2 years old. And I've been at Laurier now for 4 years in the International Education Studies program. Prior to my first program, I was actually enrolled in the computer science and physics program. And I realized that I didn't really want to just sit around all day and grow old and start being less socialized. I realized that when I went into the education and teaching program, it allowed me to make more of an impact on my future students' lives and my peers around me. And I love working with a team and collaboration. It makes me a better leader and communicator. And it's fun and I get to talk with a lot of people. So I enjoy it.
I also did something related to computers and I realized the same thing.
It's really just at the start of it, it was really fun, right? You're enjoying it. And then later into it, it was being alone and gave you that negative, depressing feeling. And I think it's for some people. I don't think it's for the extroverts. I think it's for the introverts. And I'm a little bit more of an extrovert, but I also share some characteristics of introverts. I just don't like.
Oh, and when I'm
sitting there and typing all day.
When I was doing that program, I had a very, very nice teacher at Conestoga College. And he told me, this is a program for young people.
Mm-hmm.
17, 18, 19. Because they might spend Monday to Monday, 12, 16, 20 hours sitting. So, I think you make the right decision.
Thank you.
And I'm going to ask you to do another decision. So, How should we call you in this program? It can be your name or an alias, aka. Some people use an animal's name or an object, a force of nature. Whatever represents you, what would you like us to call you?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm usually, some people, my close friends, call me the Egyptian magician. And you might, if you are a soccer or football person, you know that Mohamed Salah is also called that. And yeah, you can, that can be my nickname.
Okay. Well, so for all our listeners, this is the voice of the Egyptian magician, my friend. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for organizing and having me.
Thank you very much. So to start, tell us, so what's your family roots are and where did you grow up?
So my family is born in Cairo, Egypt. So that's where our main roots are. I grew up there from the time I was born till about 2 years old. But they lived there when they were married for a very long time. And then they came to Canada to do their schooling, their elementary school, high school, and university. And they got their degrees within Canada. Most of my cousins and my first cousins and my second cousins came to Canada probably prior to COVID, around the same time COVID-19 pandemic happened. But I still have some relatives in Cairo, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Abu Dhabi, the UAE, which I just recently visited this past winter.
How was it?
It was, I would say, Abu Dhabi, my first time being there. It's the most fanciest airport I've ever seen. It's so fancy and it's so clean and it's so bougie. And it's, you know, when you go to those places, you might think, oh, they're all uptight or mean people. But when you go there, it's just love. You know, those people, you know, they welcome you into their country and all they want for you is to talk to them and they want you to spread the love. So to go there and see that, it was just, it was mind blowing. It was awesome.
It's a different meaning of an airport.
It is, because Egypt airport, last time I remember, was not that fancy. And most of the countries I've traveled to throughout my life, they're not very fancy, bougie airports. But I think some countries that have a lot of money and have a lot of tourists and attract that sort of population really focus on their airports and their touristic destinations. So it happened that Abu Dhabi was one of those
mind-blowing
airport and country vacations.
Now that you say country, the word home means different things to different people. What is home to you? It's a place, it's a feeling, it's in a specific people.
To me, home means people. It doesn't mean where you live, you know, and this is tied to my religion, Islam. You know, I think that, you know, Islam is not just the religion itself, which people are doing better. We're on this journey together and we're supposed to help those who are new to the religion. So when I reflect on that, I think home to myself is I'm very thankful to have lots of family in my life and lots of support and the idea of community, you know, not being alone, doing things in the same religion. It just brings so much love and passion. So home to me is my family, my friends, and community.
What about community in terms of a sound that reminds you that is your hometown? What will it be? Take us there with your imagination.
Yeah, so in Egypt, a sound that reminds me of home is other Egyptians yelling at each other and really using very enthusiastic about speaking Arabic. You know, I know that when tourists or people view that, you know, they might see all the arguing and it looks really rough, but I'm telling you that when they argue with each other, it's just love. It's just like funny banter. It's the best, you know, and you have a good time. And, you know, the fresh smell of shawarma and all the Egyptian dishes, it just brings back lots of memories.
So that was my next question. Is food is an invisible thread, and is there a flavor or dish like shawarma that means more to you than just food, or what memories do you hold in that flavor?
Yeah, I think the best Egyptian dish, and I tried to recreate it here in Canada. It didn't turn out like the Egyptian style back home, but I love macaroni bechamel. So just to get an idea, it's like the rice and then the macaroni and then some sort of meat on top, and then you pour like tomato sauce and some sweet, like some honey or syrupy thing on it, and it tastes really good. And I just think that, you know, it's like Thanksgiving. You eat one certain type of food during that celebration. So I think that brings everyone to the table and it gets everyone like, we're about to have dinner. You know, this meal is to synthesize. We have to be thankful for what we have around us and the people that are with us enjoying in the dinner.
It's not just the food that is special, but yeah, the moment.
It's. I think that's coming from Egypt. It's all about its moments. From the yelling and arguing, bantery talk in the streets, or you hear lots of people doing the shisha and you want to join in, or you eat the macaroni bechamel with your family. It's nice to be in the moment with them.
Yep. Yeah. Let's go back to your childhood, specifically memories. Which one, no matter how simple it might seem, is one that you hold dear and why?
Yeah, I have so many memories, but
that's good. That's good.
It's hard to choose the
big one, not the most important. It's just one that comes to your mind right away, right now.
Oh, I guess when me and my brother were playing a board game, like checker. I think it was chess or checkers, and you know, and we had a really good time. And you know, the good thing is we also have cats, so the cats started to join us and sit with us while we were playing together as kids, and it was just to synthesize a good bonding moment between me and my brother, because usually me and my brother, we like to do active, like physical, like workout or play sports or that sort of thing. But this was a different type of activity with my brother. So I think it synthesized or it symbolized something even more. You know, we grew together on a more like deeper level. So,
and that is very important in the early years, right?
Mm-hmm.
In those years, we learn some values or principles that lasts forever.
Exactly.
Which value or principle stands out for you? Why and from whom did you learn, or from what?
I think the value of treating people how you want to be treated, and from, I guess, my ummi, so that means my mom in Arabic. So I think that's the most powerful trait I carried, because it doesn't mean like, oh, just, you know, say hi or say hello to someone and then be done. You know, it shows you how to communicate with others, how to develop that sort of emotional empathy with others, how to create long-standing relationships, and how do you create those friendships that stick with you till you're dead, you know? And when you treat someone nicely, they respect you, and then they, out of their kindness, they're like, this person's very nice, so I'm going to try and be very nice with them. So I think the idea of showing someone respect and kindness, treat them the way they want to be treated, and then have it back for yourself as a bonus. So I appreciate that my mom taught me that as at a very young age, because I do see that a lot of the new generations with the smaller kids and some of the high schoolers, you know, when they talk to their parents, they have lots of attitude and, you know, they're snarky and they're mean and they're angry all the time. And it's just, you know, I liked it when it was back before COVID, you know, everyone wasn't all mad and angry and anxiety. Everyone was like flowing together and there was nice conversation between people. So
that is so nice.
I appreciate my mom.
Because by the end, we have like two different families, right? The one that we were born and the one that we choose.
Exactly.
And usually those chosen people, we call it friends.
Exactly. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Do you recall any friend who made a special impact in those early years in your life? Like, what do you remember about that person? Sometimes a family member becomes not just a family member, but a friend.
Yeah.
I saw a little bit on your brother, but is there anyone coming to your mind?
Yeah. Yeah, I think when I came here, I had a friend, we used to be in the same class all the way from elementary to the end, from like grade 1 to grade 8. And we shared birthday parties together and we hang out so many times. So I think his name was Caleb. So and I still see him during reading week.
Really?
He's doing good and he's finishing up his program at Humber College in Mississauga. But growing up with him, you know, he was very into basketball. He got me into basketball. He pushed myself harder than I needed to be, and I found my love for basketball, and I'm thankful for that.
Well, that's what a friend does, right?
Yeah.
And on the other hand, family usually gives you advice. Is there anyone that your family or gave you that you still carry with you, like an invisible amulet or something that guides you even now?
What is this, like, do parents count, or are you looking more for other
whoever?
Okay.
Yeah. Usually, good advice comes from family, right? But yeah. You never know.
Oh,
who
I can do
this.
Yeah. I guess my grandfather, my mom's dad. Every time I see them, you know, and he asks how I'm doing, and how was school and stuff. You know, he's always the type of person to tell me, you know, make sure you do this, and you know, you always want to strive to do this and make sure to have these types of friends and, you know, treat people with this and that's and with the kindness. And, you know, I take those constructive criticisms really importantly, because, you know, he's telling me from his experience what he has gotten and what he has seen in the world. And to be able to pass that down to me is really important. And it shapes the person who I want to be now and who I want to be in the future. So I am grateful for that.
And I think he's very straightforward. No filters. No,
yeah. I would say the Egyptians are very straightforward in their criticisms. And, you know, it's good to be straightforward. I don't like the sugarcoating or this and that. Even if it's bad criticism, I think that, you know, you eventually grow into using that bad criticism and turning it into a positive thing for yourself. That's all.
That's your decision.
Exactly.
That's your decision. Even in this fast-paced environment that we have out here at the university. So when you are not doing this, go here, go there, what do you do when you need to relax? What do you have, any personal retreat?
Yeah, I love going to the gym and I love playing basketball. I feel like when I'm playing basketball and going to the gym, it clears my mind. I'm able to be at peace and not think like I'm able to have my competitive, like, sports side push myself. And I just love the environment, you know, being competitive with all the other players and students. And, you know, that's like playing with people who are better than you. So then I can learn to be better. It challenges you more because what you learn in school and stuff, you know, it does, it challenges your brain.
Yeah.
But I get the physical aspect when I go to gym. And it's a great way to blow off some steam, you know. And you can take your friends there or you can meet. And that's how I met some of my best friends all the way from first year to fourth year. If I haven't never experienced going to the gym, if I never played the basketball intramurals first year, I never met, would have met the first, the friends that I have to this day. So,
because you usually love the sport because of its nature, so, but it brings friends.
It brings friends, yeah.
I like that. I like that. But sometimes we need to disconnect from the world.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you completely disconnect from everything else? Like what allows you to lose yourself in a good way?
You're gonna laugh, but or it's good, but reading Arabic and smoking some shisha, like having the Egyptian traditions, eating the food. And praying, for sure, is my ability to connect with God and disconnect from the world. It makes me focus on what are things I need to do in my personal life or things outside of school. What do I want in life? Do I have everything I have in my life? Is there things that or people that I need to like forgive or forget or that sort of thing? So I would say that, like, listening to any mostly Egyptian, Syrian, Lebanese music, it blows or disconnects me from the world. Reading the Quran, just reading Arabic, I just get lost in it and I'm able to have peace. And then, of course, doing the shisha with other people. It's definitely fun, yeah.
For some people, disconnect the world, including you and I guess, is that reconnect to our root
culture. Exactly, yeah. You don't have, I don't know, I think being brought up in your religion from a young age, you love it and you're close to it, it brings out the best of you and you never want to let that go. It almost becomes part of your hobby, you know, and you never known that religion could turn out to be such a good hobby for yourself.
Yeah, because we are trying to find this balance between joy and nostalgia, right, in life. But if you can recall, doesn't matter if you think it's a simple pleasure, but what is that small thing that never fails to bring you a smile in your face?
Just seeing friends and family. I think those are the most simplest things, you know. Just if I'm having a bad day, which I don't usually have, but just seeing like someone walking down, a friend, and just saying, how are you doing? Hello, good to see you. Is a good day to give me a smile, or seeing you or talking about sports. It's the best. It engages in the conversation and it's good to speak with someone. So yeah.
And sometimes, not only good things comes to our mind. Sometimes, like fears, down here. If you feel comfortable, is there any fear like you are afraid of?
Fear? Yeah, I mean, for myself, fear that, you know, you're always like with the health. My health allergies and my personal, I'm worried that, you know, it will catch up to one day, you know. I'm worried that, you know, people die everywhere in the world, people die young. So, you know, I always have that fear in the back of my mind. I don't let it drive me. And I fear for, like, what's happening in the state of the Middle East, you know, if it moves to my region. You know, I'm worried that my family will suffer some like consequence, or just the my people will suffer something traumatic, and you know, I don't want to think about it. So I do feel those things, but I try to think of like what every positive thing, you know. So when I tore my wrist during the summer, you know, I wasn't really afraid, because I was thinking like, even though I tore my wrist, I was able to walk and I was able to eat and drink. I was able to do other things while I wasn't like, I don't have my wrist. But if I was dead, then I wouldn't be able to do nothing. So I have to be thankful that while I get injured or something bad happens to me, I can do other things.
Yep, the balance we spoke earlier. Like, you feel good, you feel grateful, but at the same time, you feel afraid that what could happen to my family over here.
Exactly.
And family usually comes from this place where we are now. Like, Westfield Laurier is a mosaic of cultures. In your opinion, how has encountering so many different life experiences here enriched your own story?
It's been hard. I'm going to be honest. It's been... these past few years, it's been hard with the whole LGBTQ people and like learning about the Zionists and all those people. It's hard to like think about kind of like what people perceive as Mexican or Spanish people or Muslim people. You know, they see that, you know, oh, all of them are terrorists or all of them are like that. But, you know, not all people view the world in such a negative way and have those negative ideals. So I think it's been hard to kind of look at new religions that you've never reacted or came into contact before and really think about, oh, they're good people. It's just hard to wrap your like mind about. And you know, sometimes when you interact with different people or different cultures, you know, some people can be like very mean about it and they don't want to teach us, which kind of makes us very scared and very like, you know, mad, because we want to be more accommodating as people. We want to not hurt anyone's feelings. And so by them shutting themselves off, we also kind of shut ourselves off. And then it creates the turmoil, you know. So I think that's the hardest thing is, how do we like accept everyone and accommodate everyone, knowing that they come from various different backgrounds, cultures, or religions?
And everyone has their own bias.
Exactly, yeah.
And you don't know where bias come from.
Yeah, and you can't change how they think. You can only tell them, maybe think of it as this way or in this view.
I agree with you, and everything that you have seen or even learned from different people in this community has helped you in any way to rediscover about your own culture?
Yes, I think, you know, coming to university and coming to a country to doing schooling here, very westernized, and how they do school here, and you know, the life outside of university, like the most of the people, they party and they drink, you know. And then in school, it's very westernized, you know. I never really learned about a lot of Islamic stuff, or maybe a little Black History Month, Judaism, Hinduism. Never did a lot of like Spanish or Colombian, Mexican history, right? We never really got, or Italian. In our school, we never really strengthened that in our classes. So I think thinking about my own culture, it makes me think that, you know, we have a lot of work to do on in Canada. You know, we accept so many immigrants and stuff, but we never adapt it into our curriculum. You know, it's still very westernized. You know, we look at even the programs I am in and the courses I take, it's very like, what did this Western white person theorize or that? We don't look at other people in the world. What are they saying currently? And it just makes me mad, like, you know, to be ashamed of my culture, to be ashamed of your culture. You know, you come to such an accepting place, and to make like a good friends, get good schooling and have a sense of community, you shouldn't like hide who you are. You know, you should be able to be enthusiastic and show the world, this is who I am, this is what it means to be Egyptian or Colombian, you know, and I'm proud. So
yeah, and probably if I had the same feeling, right? And it makes me think about we are in a certain way invisible in this place.
Exactly.
Because other communities also had the right to be a show it, right? But what happened with mine?
Yeah, I think, you know, we learned a term, or maybe you heard, we always look at one eye seeing and we never do two eye seeing, or it's a one size fits all approach. So basically we just do, basically one size means we just do the standard Western ideal and it's supposed to fit the whole scope. And even with one eye seeing, we only look at through things one eye, but we never really open our other eye to see so many possibilities. So I think that's where we need to start. You know, we need to start actually opening both of our eyes and saying, you know, the Western ideal is not a one size fits all approach. It's not for everyone. And you could argue the same for standardized testing. You know, some people have disadvantages or learning disadvantages as well. And they can do the regular standardized testing, but they're saying, oh, they're the same. So we're going to give the same test for this person and that person, and they just no accommodation. Yep. So
and it made me see things completely different, right? I don't want to get anyone silent.
Mm-hmm.
I just want everyone to have a voice.
Exactly, and to be heard and to be seen.
Yep, because there is not only way to be a good person. We all are human beings, and taking the time like we do in this podcast, listen to people, it's just letting them know who they are.
Exactly. And, you know, I think the greatest thing that no one teaches us is, you know, sometimes we just got to, like, shut our mouths and just only listen. You know, no one knows the real powerful way of listening. Like, I was listening to a podcast on, like, I don't remember, a few years ago, on different ways to be a better communicator and to be a better listener. And the number one thing is, when you walk into a room and you're speaking with people, don't talk at all. Just listen to what's going on and to be better perceptionist, you know?
Yeah. And I think people become more confident when you let them be heard.
Exactly.
Just like that. And probably that's the heart of this program. Like, we try to let our guests express themselves and let us know who they are. For example, previously I asked you to choose a song that defines your life. At this very moment, it doesn't have to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
The main one, but a song that defines what is happening right in your life. So before you say the name, can you tell us what moment or feeling or even an idea that this piece of music captures of you?
Yeah, I think out of all the Arabic songs I listen to, or the Quranic music, I would say this song really shows what it means to be like a father or a leader, you know, and the importance of, you know, sharing that responsibility, caring for your son. And it shapes me to be the future father that I want to be, being there for your future children or being there for your family, supportive and, you know, showing them your culture and just like being there for them.
Well, let me tell you something. This piece that you chose, which until now might have been a personal treasure for you, will no longer be played only for you. From now on, it will have an audience that, upon hearing it, will celebrate with you this exact moment in your life. It will be a reminder for all of us about your story. tell us which song is it?
The song is Baba by Amr Dayan, so Egyptian on the singer.
I was hoping that it was Egyptian. Egyptian magician. Imagine that this song is the soundtrack to a chapter in your life. And so, what will you title this chapter? Tough question?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I'm trying to figure out the exact words because in my life right now, there's so much going on and there's so many things. I'm very happy for what I have gotten right now. So the word that I...
Or the title for this chapter. It doesn't have to be a word, but a sentence or...
Maybe it would just be thank you or shukran in Arabic. Shukran. It would just be that word, you know, being thankful.
Cool. Thinking about the future you want to build here at Laurier and beyond, what message or value would you most like to project and leave as a legacy in our community?
That's another hard question, but I would have to say something of not being alone and loneliness and building community. You know, I think when I came to Wilfrid Laurier almost 4 years ago, it's not what it is now. You know, back then, coming out of COVID, still things were pretty, like, there was a sense of loneliness, and now things are just opening up. So if for the future generations, I would say that there are more resources here that are being offered, you know, so they don't have to feel alone or they don't have to feel scared. And there are clubs and communities built based on their religion. So they have people who they can connect with outside of the school aspect. They can just kind of take their mind off things and just talk with people who are going through the same thing or who value or believe in the same thing, and just talk with one another and kind of, you know, as is shown through Islam, you know, they're on this journey together. Why does someone have to be alone? You know, we're supposed to help people who feel lost or don't know that much or not as knowledgeable as they think they are. You know, we're just supposed to support them. And, you know, the more we teach someone or the more we help someone, it makes us a better person and it makes us a better future educator. So that's what I would say for
you're speaking about future. So when people think of you many years from now, what would you like them to remember about you? I mean, what mark would you like to leave in the heart of those who know you?
I think I would like to remember them as a kid who went from in school not being very, like, I was, you know, in grade 9 and 10, I didn't love studying. I was kind of relaxed and I really didn't take it serious. And it was about until grade 11 and 12 where I took up the initiative of, you know, realizing that, you know, getting where I wanted to be in life, seeing what I want, you have to put in the work and you have to believe in yourself that you can do it and you can never give up. So I think that's how I want people to see me, going from the guy who kind of, you know, never really took things seriously and then matured at the end of high school into university and later on to see the value of, you know, studying and to see the value of having a good job and getting what you want in life. You know, my parents always say, you know, nothing ever comes easy in your life. So I think that's the most important thing, as long as you try your best and you fight for what you want, inshallah, you will hopefully you will get it for yourself.
Inshallah is God willing.
Yeah. And we use it for saying like, hope everything goes as your plan, or hope everything is okay. Hope we get this opportunity.
Well, Egyptian Magician, has been an honor to hear one of the songs from the soundtrack of your life. So we're close to close the circle and connect your story with the one coming next week. So what question would you like to ask the next guest to get a glimpse into their life?
I guess I would like to know how does the person, go like using their background and culture and knowledge, how do they confront other religions that they never experienced before, and what are their ways of learning something new or being more accommodating and making them a better person?
Well, you will listen to the answer on next episode, but before letting you go, I want to give you this small gift, and it's just a physical for this moment, right? We want to give you this, but it has a small message. It says, thank you for your vulnerability, for sharing your essence with us. And this is a tangible reminder of this day. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate that, bro. Thank you very much.
Remember, throughout our lives, we all experience a little bit of everything. Moments of great joy and success. And also challenges, setbacks, and difficulties. It's part of the human experience. It's the nature of life. However, what's truly important isn't what happened to us, but how we choose to respond to it. We have the power to decide whether to let bad things hold us back or use them as a fuel to keep us going. Therefore, the best tool we have is a positive attitude. This doesn't mean ignoring problems, but rather facing them with the conviction that we can overcome them and learn from them. Always a positive attitude. Always. See you next time.
I hear you loud. I hear you clear. Every beat, every voice in here. Turn it up, let the moment ignite. This is your sound, your life tonight. Every step, every turn, every fire, every burn.
I'm here for the highs and the lows, in the rhythm and